Hi, I'm Chris Bedford, Dorothy Wagner Wallace Director of the Baltimore Museum of Art, and welcome to Art Matters, a monthly feature where we provide insights into the work of some of today's most creative artists from Baltimore and beyond. Joining me today is Elisa Blount-Moorhead, a Baltimore-based artist, curator, and producer who has created public art, exhibitions, and cultural programs in Baltimore, New York, Jamaica, and London. Welcome. It's really lovely to see your face via Zoom.
I know. It's crazy, right?
So I'm doing this conversation from my office in the museum, on my own, of course. But directly above me is your multi-channel video installation, Back in Song, which is a collaboration with award-winning cinematographer Bradford Young. And it's obviously a particularly resonant work of art now, in that it explores the relationship of health and well-being to the contemporary Black experience. So I would love for you just to describe the work and maybe say a few words about its intent and its title.
So yes, the piece is entitled Back in Song, which was Brad and I sort of having a conversation about back, meaning, you know, past and literally back in song, but also there are other things embedded in the title that reference our back and what we carry on our backs and what song, meaning our sort of what elevates us. And so essentially what you'll see when you come in is a four channel video, two of them being the same. The center channel really focuses on healers, people that we consider healers, from ranging from artists to literally midwife practitioners. And then the other two channels represent rest and euphoria and what those ideas are for us and how we kind of edited video and footage and the archive to reinterpret those concepts.
Well, it's a very beautiful piece. And one thing I'm fascinated by is the concept that as an experience, it isn't just emblematic of healing or of a desire to care for one another. The space itself is supposed to be a space of healing and care. This interests me tremendously. So it's as if there is a sort of practical dimension to the experience of art in that it measurably affects your being, your consciousness, your health while in the space. So how do you imagine achieving that? What happens when you're in there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was going to say it was unintentional, but maybe it wasn't, because we were paying particular attention to also, you know, formal and informal choices in terms of what collaboration feels like and looks like. And so maybe that some of that comes through the lens, but also, you know, some of the things maybe are technical and formal, but really I think it speaks to where we wanted to point the gaze, and the gaze in this case is really editing and framing, you know, and sound. So as an example, one of the things that I'm always really interested in and fascinated by is, you know, what gaze do we have? Who's behind the lens, literally and figuratively? And so, for example, there's some footage in there of a birth happening, and I think a lot of people have talked about that as being very empowering and really interesting to watch from that standpoint. But in actually, it was created in a more anthropological setting. And the assumption being that these women who have been bringing children into the world for decades needed support from Western men to come in and tell them how to do it. And so it's a really sort of otherwise condescending image of a voiceover telling someone what to do and how to use hygiene and sort of thing. He intentionally sort of drop out quite a bit of that authoritative narrative and selectively, you know, create a sort of tableau of what that birth probably was like from the inside perspective. So, you know, those are just sort of some of the ways that I maybe we're doing a cure in terms of representation, but also, you know, be as a transmitter, you know, and receiver, like trying to have a conversation about what being in that moment is really about. So we see ceremonies, we see dancing, all sorts of things like that. And so maybe we're trying to be, as AJ would say, like an emanation as opposed to a representation.
Yeah, I think that's very lovely. And maybe that's how you get to this idea of a video as a cure, is that, you know, the video itself emits or creates an atmosphere in which the viewer lives and feels. And it's not simply a moment of apprehension. It's more dialogic. You get something from it and it gives something to you. I think that's new and very persuasive.
Yeah. And the museum did such a beautiful job. I mean, the curators and everybody there was amazing, because the way that it's set in the museum at this moment is really what we were dreaming of. You know, this is a second run of it, and it was great. It was in a different kind of space in Philadelphia, which was also, you know, amazing. But this particular way to view it, you know, you get different oblique views and you can watch one at a time. In some space, you can sort of see both, is exactly what we wanted.
Terrific. I was also, in preparation for this conversation, thinking about doing a little bit of reading and rewatching the installation. And I was very struck by a comment that Dr. Janetta Cole made recently to our board of trustees and staff. And we're very fortunate to have her as a strategic advisor at the museum. And she kicked off a sort of Zoom healing for everyone in the midst of the rise of the Black Lives Matter movement and the traumatic images we were seeing on television. She said, "We are in the grip of one pandemic, and it's new. It's a health-based pandemic, and it's thrown into high relief the other enduring and far more violent epidemic, pandemic of systemic racism in this country. One is not new. One of the two is new, and it's thrown into high relief the ancient prejudice." And so I was struck by this, of course, watching your video installation, and it prompted me to think about equal access to healthcare and the high stakes of that in this moment in Baltimore. So could you reflect on that just a little bit for us?
Yeah. I mean, it is interesting, you know, the idea that, again, it's relevant, you know, it seems timely, but when you look back at any of the work that all the people that we love and people that are in the museum, they've been talking about these same topics that now sort of Black Lives Matter and the media has been able to sort of pick up on, this sort of relentless kind of, you know, systemic, problematic, you know, oppression and gaze. And so I think, you know, it's so hard, again, to sort of always, in a way, be in this mode and be in this gaze in particular, be in and live in this body, but also to try to now operate in a way that considers the fact that there is a new view, there is a new conversation happening for a lot of people. So, you know, I try to pay attention to that, and like she said, it's sort of reopened or maybe reframed a new view of a very, very old and insidious issue. And it feels, I guess it feels less insidious that people are talking about it more, which is great. It's a relief, because I think the real luxury and real privilege lies in the ability for Black artists to just be and to be able to talk about things that are kind of, you know, quotidian and always on our minds. And it's, and you don't wake up every day raced, you know, you wake up thinking about, you know, maybe painters are thinking about brush strokes. I'm thinking about light a lot. And so I'm in some ways relieved when a festering sore starts to ooze, because then someone else can be responsible for that part and the cleanup and the awareness and that sort of thing. And I can focus on the kind of path, you know, sort of creative path that I've been thinking about for a long time, you know?
So we are planning, and we are hopeful that we will successfully achieve a reopening of the museum on September 16th. And along with our reopening, of course, your show will reopen. So I know this is an enormous question, but in the grip of this moment and the heightened awareness of the subject that is more a memory and a history for you that you have lived alongside that now feels pressingly topical. What is the experience you want viewers to have in that space?
I mean, joy, honestly. I mean, it's what I always want. I want rest. I want euphoria. Brad and I both want normalization of things that are ancient and dear to us, and familiarity, you know, for people to walk in and see themselves and see or feel a sense of themselves, things that they've always known, just being sort of reawakened. And, you know, I mean, what everybody probably is craving right now is a deep connection. So ironically, that's part of what we were hoping would happen then, you know, and now I think more than ever, it's like a health imperative because we have so little connection at the moment.
Pivoting away just for a second from a specific discussion of your work to the broader context of your production as an artist who works with the moving image. So I know that you're very involved with an organization, TNEG, that aims to create sort of a concept of Black cinema in the broadest conceivable definition. So culturally, socially, economically. So could you speak a little bit about that concept or that organization and the embeddedness of your work in it?
Yeah. So TNEG is myself, Arthur Jaffa, and Malik Saeed. And Malik and AJ are in LA, and I'm here. And essentially what the intention of the organization or the production apparatus, I guess is how we would describe it, is that we wanted to create a space for both our ideas around what a Black cinema could be and how it could be a reflection and an emanation of our rhythm, our social and physicalness, but also, you know, our ideas. So, you know, it would house that, but also that we would be able to make space and create space for like-minded or not like-minded artists that were operating to do that same thing. And it, for us, it doesn't really matter aesthetically or even philosophically if we are doing similar things. In fact, it would be better than we're not. You know, so we look to people like, you know, Jatavia Gary and Terrence Nance and Nuwatama Bodomo. I mean, these are people that we feel are doing that, you know? And so for us, there's always been a question, and someone was talking about it on the panel today, about what is a Black cinema and how do you move towards a Black cinema? And it's still, for TNEG, it's still asking as much as answering that question. And so, for example, this installation, I think, is part and parcel of what we're trying to do and what we want to do.
Well, it's really heartening for me to hear, as a partially reconstructed curator, now director, that artists like you are finding a way to be creative in this moment to weather the storm. So I'm very, very grateful for you taking time away from the studio to blether with me on via Zoom for a little bit.
Thank you, Chris.
You can see Alisa Blount-Moorhead and Bradford Young back in song at the BMA when the BMA's contemporary wing reopens on September 23rd of 2020 through January 3rd of 2021. Thank you for listening today. Art Matters is produced for WYPR by the Baltimore Museum of Art. And for the Baltimore Museum of Art, I'm Chris Bedford.